Oh, sorry, one second. I just All right, am I okay? Do I sound okay?
You sound okay, but we can't see you.
There you go.
Now we can. Excellent.
All right, am I okay? Do I sound okay?
Ooh, we have a big old delayed echo from somewhere.
That's...
What do you make of that, Craig? Maybe it's fine. Say a few words, Maggie.
Check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, that was just a catch.
Comes up. Hey, we're live! Hello and welcome to the In the Money Media Belmont Stakes Day Final Answer Show. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornitau, coming to you from the Little House on the East Side. I don't have my JK Belmont at Saratoga shirt yet. I'm not sure if they're making one or not, but I'm repping the canoes, and I'm extremely excited for the show we're going to do over the course of the next hour or so, going over this Belmont Day Pick 6. We've got a great show for you and a great team of people assembled. We're going to start with our sponsor, who we've had on these airwaves from time to time. Really looking forward to a cool new podcast we've got coming out this summer. We'll just tease that for now. But, man, I've learned so much about racing from in the 2 years or so I've been a member of Adelphi Racing Club. This is the man who's sort of the managing partner of that enterprise, a horse player and an owner, Matt Kater. Matt, how are things, buddy?
Everything's great. I was out at the Oklahoma this morning seeing horses run around in circles. It's a good thing.
It's a beautiful thing. In fact, maybe on one of those horses. No, I'm guessing she slept in today because she had the opportunity after doing a great job last night as one of the panelists on the Embrace the Belmont event. We welcome in from America's Day at the Races, Maggie Wolfendale. Maggie, what's up?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I was a little bit back at the knee, as one would say, this morning, but I still managed to get up quite early and make it to the barn a little bit later than planned.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good that you got out there. Obviously, very curious to hear anything that you guys saw on the grounds today that might be of interest over the course of this four-day Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. We'll get to that as we're going on here. Welcome to everybody who is watching us live as part of this stream that we're doing. Also, welcome to everybody watching the replay, wherever you're watching us. And I'll put this call out at the end of the show too. But we're looking for a little favor. We've really had some good growth and success with our YouTube channel this year, thanks to the support of viewers like you. But if you really want to help us out, do us a favor and subscribe to our YouTube channel, please, and click that notification bell. We are making a big push to get up to 10,000 subscribers because my daughter informs me at that point, we can right away to YouTube and get a little trophy. I think she called it a creator award or something like that. We need to add to the hardware here at In the Money Media. You can do your part and help us out. A guy who's definitely done his part in being creative and coming up with video ideas and being a part of this big push we've been making over here in the YouTube space. We'll bring him in now, my business partner and longtime co-host, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
What's going on, PTF? Yes, I'm back in Saratoga. The drive up never gets old, whether you're coming from Albany Airport or coming all the way from downstate. It never gets old, and it should be a lot of fun. I'm excited, and there's going to be a lot of great races. You know, as we start getting into the weeds on a Thursday, a Friday, and a Saturday of racing, there's superstars every day, so it should be a lot of fun.
It has a different feel this year, for sure. Last night was definitely Christmas Eve. We're now into the full-on Christmas Eve vibes. The weather for the moment is terrific. We'll see about that. That's something we'll discuss along the way as well to see how that continues to develop. But, I mean, the town's buzzing in the best of possible ways. Let me ask you, Maggie, since you did make it over to the barn this morning, what are the vibes like over there? What kind of mood are people in?
It's weird because it's actually still a little bit more quiet than what you normally experience during a typical Saratoga meet. But it's, you know, it's bubbling under the surface kind of thing. I think tomorrow we will get inundated. And I think more so it'll be at the races. You know, the mornings are a special thing, I think, unique to the meet. So, and there aren't that many horses on the grounds either as of now. The barns aren't full. There aren't that many horses training out there. So it's kind of like a quiet, kind of whispery mood of it's about to blow up.
I like that. I like that. The powder keg, the fuse is lit, perhaps. Matt, what did you observe over there today? Curious to get your perspective.
No, it's funny. Actually, the first thing I thought about when I drove into the Oklahoma was, wow, this is more quiet than I expected. But I guess we are a day away. And to Maggie's point, like, not everybody's up here. You know, we've got five horses running this week, and only two of them are on the grounds currently. So, you know, a lot of them are just going to ship up from Belmont and then run. So it's going to be a little bit different, I guess, from that perspective than the typical Saratoga meet. But I felt lucky this morning for sure. A beautiful morning. Hopefully it's not the last beautiful morning that we have all weekend to get out there and see the horses train. And the main track looks great. I don't know, for whatever reason, I actually thought, the grass, the flowers, the leaves, everything looked a little bit better even than it does in July. I just thought it looked great over there and the new Jim Dandy bar and everything else. So I'm excited about the races tomorrow, and I'm sure it'll get a lot more crowded.
I'm excited to get over there. I'm going to run over today, pick up a credential, and just sort of soak up some of those the vibes, the calm before the storm type stuff. Now, originally, Matt, we were going to do a bonus race on this show because we had one of the Adelphi horses I'm happy to be a partner in, I thought was running Saturday, but is actually running on Sunday. Do I have that right?
Yeah, which maybe is good for us, speaking of the weather, right? Because hopefully, if we get a bunch of rain tomorrow, hopefully it dries out Friday, Saturday, and it leaves the turf course in good shape for us on Sunday. We've got two horses running actually in the same race, Better Lucky Than Good, and then Gem Mint 10, the horse you're in on, I believe is the ninth race on Sunday. So hopefully we get luck with the turf course.
It's going to be great. All right. I think we should dive in to the meat and potatoes of the show here. We're going to be going over the pick six. If we have some time at the end, and we probably will, we'll get to some questions as well. I see them already coming in. Yeah. Speaking of the weather, I think that's the assumption we're going to go on is we're supposed to get some rain tomorrow. And then from there, it looks touch and go. I mean, the last time I looked at Friday, it looked actually fairly clear. And even Saturday was down to like 40%. So, I think the attitude is to be cautiously optimistic. But if we have any thoughts that are predicated on weather as we go through these races, we will certainly make observations about those. We kick on with race number 7 on Saturday. 2:36 Eastern is the scheduled post time for the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps for fillies and mares. 4 and up, going a mile and an eighth on the dirt. This is a race that on paper looks, to my eye, looked to be maybe a little bit of a match between Idiomatic and Randomized. David Aragona, the morning line maker, tilted that heavily to Idiomatic, and I can see why. Looks like she might get a very similar setup to the one she did in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, but let's bring in the panel and see what everybody else thinks. Maggie, let's start with you. Who is Idiomatic really number one, and then it's everybody else here, or do you think it's a bit more open than that?
I tell you what, I don't particularly like Randomized, and maybe that's just me because I've never liked Randomized and she has made a fool of me on several occasions. But her job gets so much harder, right? After the draw, she's drawn on the inside now. And so she's going to have Idiomatic laying all over from the outside. And I will say this in her defense, I've come to realize that I think she is a better horse around two turns because it allows her to get in that rhythm and maybe not go quite as fast as what we saw her in that comeback race in the Grade 2 Ruffian, in which she was disappointing. She was a very short price that day, defeated by Soul of an Angel, who she'll take on again in here, and a horse that capitalized on some pace coming back. Now, it was that Soul of an Angel's first race for Safi Joseph Jr. Could she be now a mare that is going to turn into a superstar, or was she just a little bit lucky? Was there a lot of racing luck on her side last time out in that Ruffian? And then you have to mention Pretty Mischievous in that conversation. Her first start back over a sloppy track, she kind of showed last year in the Cotillion that kind of surface really isn't for her. So I'd be willing to give her the benefit of the doubt because she was really good last year as a three-year-old.
All right, I like the case. JK, let's pivot to you to bring you in for your thoughts on this one. When we talked about this race, we talked about it as a little bit of a showdown. The more I look, the more I'm seeing the Idiomatic case, but where are you?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that hidden improvement from 2 to 3 and 3 to 4. But to Maggie's point, randomized didn't really show that. And it's not like Chad, like, sends them over there needing one. And then like, oh, the next start, they're going to ride. That was pretty disappointing. And I think if you look back through her races, I think she might have tricked us a few times on how good some of those performances in her three-year-old year actually were. I know they were visually impressive, maybe not as good as they seemed on paper. And as far as Idiomatic's concerned, you know, I thought she ran well last time. It wasn't overly impressive in terms of the speed figure, but she ran well in the La Troyenne. But you don't bring back a horse like that to, like, run off the screen in the La Troyenne, right? You bring a horse back to have a campaign, to win a handful of grade ones throughout the year and win another distaff. Heck, who knows, even get optimistic, you know, get crazy and try for a classic or something, you know, kind of as her swan song at the end of her year. But I will say this. This morning I woke up and I opened Twitter, and the first thing I saw was Mike Welsh from the DRF, and he had tweeted, "Put a watch on the monster galloping at better than a 2-minute clip, not far behind Mystic Dan, who emerged from the light fog on the turn and revealed herself to be none other than Idiomatic." Monster, when the horses start getting described that way by people who have sharp opinions, you've got my attention.
So in terms of your betting approach, what are you saying here?
Ice cold, baby.
Okay. Well, just the one, just the lone A for JK, which is the way that I'm leaning as well, though Maggie did make a very good point about Soul of an Angel. Matt, let's bring you in and get where you stand on this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with Maggie and JK on randomized. She's not for me in here. And I also think that, you know, you could certainly single Idiomatic, especially considering this is the start of the pick six. If something crazy happens, you can come back in the pick five. So I'm a big fan of doing that. But I will probably take a small shot with some backup tickets to Soul of an Angel. You know, I just thought that the last race was really, really good. Obviously, it kind of came out of nowhere, but it was first time for Safi. It wasn't like she beat bad horses either. I mean, she beat randomized by nearly five lengths. She beat Sheeta Booty, who was coming off of a grade three win in the distaff. And there might be enough pace in here to set up a run for a horse that wants to come from out of it. And I think if that happens, she'll be the right horse at the right price. I acknowledge, though, a mile and an eighth is a question mark for her. So that's just something, you know, you're going to have to build into the price. But for me, it's probably Idiomatic, you know, with 90% of my tickets, and then maybe small backups just to see if something crazy would happen with Soul of an Angel at a price.
Let's move on to the second race, leg B of this sequence. It's the grade one Woody Stevens for these three-year-olds going 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 12 going postward, and we'll go backwards around the horn this time, meaning Matt, we'll keep it with you.
Yeah, this race I really had a hard time with. I'm going to be pretty spready in here. I mean, I'll just talk about a couple of the horses. Bookham Dano, I like the horse. I'm a little bit concerned, though. I'm curious to hear from everybody else on this, if people know kind of how he's been training. But I saw he didn't work back from Saudi for a couple months. He worked back, it looks like, on the 28th of April at Tampa. And then there's a pretty big gap till his next work at Monmouth on the 22nd of May. I don't really like that. I mean, it looked like, okay, they gave him time off of Saudi. They work him back on the 28th of April. That gives him about five works into this kind of race. That seems about perfect for what they were trying to do. But the fact that they didn't work back for nearly a month after that is a little bit concerning. And essentially, he's running in here off of two works. So I really like the horse, but I'm concerned about that. A horse I'm interested in at a price is Imagination, just as the other Baffert, shortening up. I'm hoping that the track will be fast on Saturday for this race. And I just think of the prices on the two Bafferts, I'd rather take Imagination at a bigger price. But there's a lot of others in here that I can't really exclude either. Valentine Candy has done really nothing wrong except for the synthetic race and probably sits a good trip in here. I think there's a good amount of pace in front of him, and he maybe just sits sort of right in that second tier and gets first run. And then a bunch of horses on the outside. I mean, it's hard to exclude the other Baffert, Vlahos, Nash as well. So I'm going to be pretty spready. I'm curious, though, what people think about Bookham Dano coming back.
Sure.
From
before we move on, Matt, we're going to send around little notes to our In the Money Plus subscribers. So if you wanted to either offer, I wrote down your spread, 1, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9. But in those picks I send around, I give people the opportunity to identify a top pick and or grade those into A's and B's if you want to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, so my A's in here would probably be the two Bafferts and the Asmussen, the four Valentine Candy, and then the other horses I would have as B's.
3, 4, 7. It doesn't sound like you really have much in the way of a top pick. It's just, it's really a spread, survive, move on kind of race. I'll take up the conversation as far as Bookham Dano goes, and just say that I like the horse. I mean, you raise certainly a valid concern, but that run in the Saudi Derby was huge. I mean, he gave Forever Young everything he could handle, and obviously Forever Young then came back to win in Dubai, and then under circumstances arguably could have won the Kentucky Derby. And then there's the fact that race was back in February, maybe natural improvement. And the other thing I liked about him is the fact that I think he'll get a good mid-pack sit and be able to move up gradually and attack leaders who I'm hoping will be hitting pretty hard up front, setting it up for an off-the-pace run from a runner like Bookham Dano. So that was the horse that I want to talk about the most. Maggie, let me ask you, the point Matt brings up about that gap in the works, is that something that gives you pause? What do you think about Bookham Dano and all the rest in the Grade 1 Woody Stevens?
You know, I understand the concern, but you would have to, and I will do my best to put on my best reporting cap and try to find out what maybe occurred in catching up with trainer Derek Ryan. Now, he's not a big stable guy. So if this was a Chad Brown horse, a Todd Pletcher horse, and he missed those works, yeah, you would be concerned because they have that program. We don't see many Derek Ryan horses, and especially horses at this caliber, and so we don't really know how he trains them. But the two works at Monmouth are good, and furthermore, don't forget the ship. Maybe I can't really say he's a horse that doesn't ship that well, because obviously he shipped well going into Saudi Arabia, but maybe something happened, you know, on the way up from Florida to New Jersey. So we don't know. Like I said, I will try to do my best, but I really like the horse like you, Pete. The way that the speed looks to develop in this race, you never know. It's New York. Sometimes it doesn't happen. But I really think he's talented, and he would be one of my A's in here and my top pick.
Terrific. Who else would be amongst those A's, Maggie?
I totally agree with Matt with Valentine Candy. The only question mark is 7/8 doable for him? He's only had one try. It was his second start in the Grade 1 Hopeful where we saw that monster pace collapse where randomly Nutella Vella is back in this race for his first start as a three-year-old. And you wonder, I would say if there wasn't as much speed in this race, I would question it more, because therefore maybe he doesn't have the fractions to run into, but I think he's guaranteed to get those fractions. And like Matt said, he's very, very handy in here. I weirdly prefer Prince of Monaco of the two Baffert horses, because I've liked what I've seen from him watching his workouts. And I do think, and he's worked a lot from the gate. So I think he's trying to keep this horse handy, make sure he's sharp away from there, but he's not a horse that needs the lead. So I think he showed a ton of promise as a two-year-old, and hopefully he comes back well.
Ones, fours, and sevens for Maggie. How about you, JK? How do you see this one?
A couple of things. So Bookham Dano, I think that, you know, Maggie kind of hinted at this too, like not knowing exactly, especially for like a lower profile trainer. That gap between Tampa and Monmouth, there could be a farm work in there. There could be a let's go here and, you know, whatever. There could be a bunch of gallops. There's a lot of stuff. Or it could have just been missed on the tab. You know what I mean? It's horses don't get missed on the tab at Saratoga, but it can happen at other places, I think. So I would try to find out a little bit more. And I think Maggie has hinted that she'll do that. My best bet of the day, both the whole week, is Vallejos. I absolutely love this horse. I thought he ran so damn good in the Pat Day Mile and was beat in a pace that fell apart and was beat by the eventual Preakness winner, and a horse that I think a lot of people will still give some attention and Seize the Gray for this Belmont. I think Vallejos is going to be extremely tough. I love the draw. I love the pace figures last time. This horse is screaming for that furlong back that was lost in the Pat Day Mile in terms of the pace. I love this horse. And I saw a comment on the side where someone, I don't even want to give a name check because it's a silly comment. Poor renewal of the Woody Stevens. I think that's the most ridiculous comment I've ever seen. What? Bookham Dano, who was second to Forever Young in Saudi. You get Imagination, a horse that was taking Preakness attention. You get Valentine Candy, who was impressive last time. You get Prince of Monaco, who was the second choice in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You get Vallejos. You get Nash. You get a Grade 1 winner in Nutella Fella. I don't... What?
Looks like a pretty good race to me.
Who's missing?
I totally agree. I mean, this is one of my favorite races on the card. JK, I do have a question for you. With Vlahos, I respect him, and I think he ran really well. Are you banking on him being the speed of the speed? Do you think he's the fastest horse in here?
Yeah, I think he's the fastest horse in here, according to his pace figures, right? And Valentine Candy pops away from the gate so damn well that I think Vlahos will also be able to have a target. He'll be able to sit outside of him, which I think will make it a little bit easier. I don't think he's going to have to do the dirty work. And I also like the fact that it's more time for him to be in Doug O'Neill's barn. No offense to the previous connections, but I think Doug O'Neill's an outstanding trainer. So I think more time there. And the cutback. I mean, it's one of those situations where when we all first started handicapping, we used to highlight and circle, and still a lot of us do. But it's one of those where I just can't stop circling stuff that makes me happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's just like, it's like a whole bunch of circles all over a piece of paper.
I had Vlahos as the other horse I was going to list in those, in the Money Plus notes I mentioned, just off that idea that I don't know that he'll be in front. It might well be like with a little bit of a target, like JK said, but I think he will emerge at one point in the race, the best of speed. And it just feels like that turn back and distance is going to give him what his problem is. He hasn't really finished his races in anywhere near the same way he's began them. But I do think the turn back gives him a chance to pull a little bit more out in the finish. And if he does, it's going to be tricky. Not my top pick. I have him second to Bookham Dano, but I'm glad we did spend some time on that one. And let's give a shout out to our friends at America's Best Racing, who are helping us by sponsoring this video. They've got a really cool video coming up on YouTube as well. You're going to want to check out their Belmont preview Thursday, June 6th. That's Thursday tomorrow at 7 Eastern. Anita Marks and Dan Torgman, they do a terrific job covering in the inimitable style of America's Best Racing, which is a great blend of some of the fun and other like fashionable elements, party elements of racing, as well as some really good analysis. If you go over to their the ABR website, you get terrific horse by horse analyses of almost all of these stakes. So yeah, join them, watch that live. And thank you so much to our friends at America's Day at the Races, who've delivered many of you in the audience here. So since we have some new people and our audience has doubled since the last time I made this plug, I'll just encourage everybody to help us out with our project to get to 10,000 YouTube subscribers. Please go ahead, subscribe to the YouTube channel In the Money Media and click that notification bell. Okay, we proceed with our third race, leg C, in this pick six sequence. It's the grade one Jiper. We're going 5.5. We've got an oversubscribed field. We'll give producer Craig a chance to show us all the horses who are running in this. Another race that I think there's a lot of interesting cases can be made. You've got a strong favorite in Coburn or Cogburn who will try to make it two on the bounce in this race. JK, we're going to go to you for your thought on this one. You're one of my go-to handicappers when it comes to turf sprints. Do you have a strong opinion in this one?
I have a strong bad opinion that I'm just going to keep betting. I'm going to keep betting Big Invasion until he makes me happy. I'm going to use Big Invasion. I think there's a little bit of an excuse last time. Cogburn ran outstanding last time. And Steve Asmussen's one of those guys that when he gets them going in the right direction, they typically stay going in that right direction. I think he's pretty unique in that ability. And outside of that, you know how I am. I'm a speed of the speed guy when it comes to these turf sprints, especially by Saturday. Even if there's rain on Thursday, this turf course will be fast. It's hot as hell outside right now, and like the ground is going to be crying for water. Glenn Kozak and the team obviously will take it easy in the mornings on watering it. It'll be just fine come Saturday. So when it comes to the speed of the speed, I think Coppola has always been a sneaky horse who has some ability, but he either runs really well or he runs horrible. I'll use him. He'll be a big price. But a lot of mine, and then the two Charlie Appleby's I'll use as well. This 5.5, I think that it's going to kind of hit those two horses right in between the eyes, but Big Invasion will be my top pick just because I'm contractually obligated to continue to do that. And hope that he had an excuse at one point. And I really truly believe that he was the best turf sprinter in this country. That was when he was a 3-year-old, and he's either left me wanting, or Joel has left me wanting with some of the decisions that were made. And Joel's also given him perfect rides, and he's hung like a chandelier. So I'm contractually obligated to pick him on top.
All right. Now you guys both do such a great job on Fox's America's Day at the Races show. The Belmont Stakes this year going to be on Big Fox And, you know, we encourage everybody to check that out. But I mentioned Fox, not because they're a sponsor of the show, because I want to channel your Fox colleague, Maggie and JK. I'm going to do my best Andy Serling, JK, and ask you, what was the excuse for Big Invasion last time? Tell me this story.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
That was a good one.
I'll tell you like I would tell Andy. Andy, you shush your mouth, mister. So that's what I would tell you. I mean, look, I think that, you know, it was a slow pace. You know, the ground at Churchill was listed as good. So I suppose that's the answer to that question.
Okay.
So I just want to kind of throw that back out at JK.
Let's pick it on JK. Like,
as Pete said, I'm not dumping at all because I kind of get the argument. But as Pete said, as a three-year-old, sometimes it didn't matter if he had a slow pace in front of him. He was able to overcome it, where it feels like now, if it's not coming back to him, he ain't running. Yeah.
If he's, you know, a non-excuse eighth beaten seventh, I will file for divorce.
Got it.
But
I'm tired of the act already. You're more.
Yeah, but I thought he ran extremely well in the Silks run, right? He was fourth that day. Five is entirely too sharp for him off of a break, two coming back fresh. I thought he ran extremely well. So I have to say that he's a better horse, or not a better horse. I have to say he's as good based on that performance as we had seen him be in the past. I'm just going to give him a pass for the last race. And I agree with what Maggie's saying and what mythical Andy Serling is saying. There's not a whole lot to hold on to as to why. Maybe it just wasn't his day.
Maggie, who do you like in the Chiper?
You have to have Cogburn. Not that he is the speed of the speed, but he's going to be forward, right? And he has been very good. I think it was such a promising return to the races last time out there at Churchill. I'm also a little bit interested in Arzak. I felt like he was getting very good towards the tail end of last year. Finally, being consistent, it seemed like. And he's had, you know, some decent races at Saratoga. And the Shakertown, I thought, was a very good effort. And I like the fact that he was a little bit closer to the pace last time out. So he's coming in for Mike Trombetta. A horse that I want to use that's going to be a big price in there coming out of that race is Sosua Summer. Because I just want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He just never looked comfortable. He kind of got jostled around in that Shakertown, and he does seem to love it up here at Saratoga. So I'm hoping that he can get back on track. And I think he's the value horse in this race that I'd want to use. I mean, not value, just long shot horse that I want to use in here, because at the end of the day, I feel like turf sprints can be the most random races that we have. And so therefore you want coverage.
At 20-1, should Sosua Summer get the job done, it'll be a case of Julio get the stretch for the Saturday night party downtown. The first two you mentioned were the two that I wanted to, or two of the three that I wanted to mention. I made Arzak the top pick. I think the horse is just going to get a great setup. Now, the Shakertown has not been a productive race. I think nine have come back and none of them have won. But the horse won it so easily. Looks to be working up a storm at Fair Hill. And I like, on a big day, I love to bet a trainer like Mike Trombetta because he's so good, but under the radar. And I think you could sometimes pick up a little bit extra value on a runner like this. But Coburn will be on every ticket. Cogburn will be on every ticket. Again, not the speed of the speed, but I think will emerge from the scrum on the turn as the best of the speeds. And then if they just go too fast, I don't think I want to get beat by Mischief Magic, who JK mentioned briefly, has terrific form and figures, obviously at the mercy of the pace. My hope with him, and the reason I wanted to name check him, is maybe in such a competitive race from the 12 hole, he gets a little bit lost in the betting, and you can have a horse with really good numbers at 8, 10, 12, maybe. I'm hoping there, wish casting a little bit, but I did want to put him on the tickets. Matt, how do you see this one?
I'm probably just going to be singled here to Cogburn, to be honest. I like Big Invasion as a horse. I do think they want it firm, and I don't think we'll get that. So, if he does run, I'm probably against him because of that. I just don't know what Cogburn has done wrong since they moved him to turf. I mean, the only race that he didn't win was the Kentucky Downs race, and that's a completely different surface, a completely different track than virtually every other track in the United States. And I mean, it's evidenced by the fact of the horse that won it. I mean, I think Gear Jockey's won that race 2 years in a row, and he won it at a huge price this year because he hadn't done really much of anything prior to that. It's just a good example of a horse that loved Kentucky Downs. And, you know, this one maybe just didn't love Kentucky Downs. So if you draw a line through that, you know, he's done absolutely nothing wrong, including the race three back in the Troy, where he beat the eventual Breeders' Cup winner on this track. He's won on good turf. He's won on soft turf. He's won on firm turf. He's won at 5 and 5.5. I mean, he's just whatever the course looks like, you know, conditions wise on Saturday, I'm confident he'll like. And, you know, to Maggie's point, I think he'll be forward and sit a good trip in here. So for me, he's virtually a stone cold single. I did look at the Appleby horses a little bit. I'll probably exclude his horse to the outside just because that's a tough post going this distance. I might be a sucker a little bit for the 6 Star of Mystery. I mean, it's a 3-year-old filly against older boys. It's kind of a cool thing. And she's in really good form, but that's more just sentimental, I guess. I'll probably just go Cogburn and move on.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, there's so many different ways to bet this card, and he's going to be a favorite, but he'll be a backable favorite, I would think, just because there's so many other ways to go in here. I just had the littlest bit of a fear about him. The reason I didn't want to make him my top pick was this probably isn't the best logic in the world, but it was just off the idea that, well, he was 8-1 last time, and he's going to be so much shorter, and the race is so competitive. That's why I decided to get a little cute. But I think he certainly makes sense as a horse to be centering on. Matt going to be pushing some serious chips in the middle on Cogburn in the Jiper, which brings us to race number 10, the Grade 1 Met Mile. Been one of the highlights of Belmont Day the last several years. We've got a short field here, but if we could bill it, we could make a poster like a heavyweight title fight, perhaps, the way that I see this race anyway. I really thought it came down to potentially a match between National Treasure and White Abario. Am I oversimplifying this year's Met Mile, Matt?
No, in my opinion, not at all. I mean, I literally spent 30 minutes trying to get to another horse in here, and I just couldn't. I mean, look, Castle Chaos is a really nice horse. He's in good form. He runs every time. You know, trainer Rob Falcone does a good job. We've got two horses with him actually this weekend that I'm excited about. He's done a phenomenal job with this horse, even just going back to claiming the horse for 75 first out. I mean, that's, you know, a ballsy move, and it's paid off for him. I just think he's probably a cut below, and, you know, the inside draw, I think, really, really hurts him. Post time, nice horse. I think probably also a slight cut below. Also, I just think Brittany Russell is better outside of New York. You know, I don't think she's won a race in Saratoga in 2+ years. So it'd be hard for me to back her, especially against better horses in here. I didn't like how Blazing Sevens came back last time, just visually wasn't super impressive, and then Hoist the Gold's not in good form. So, you know, you go through all that, it comes down to the two horses. I'm literally just going to rely on people who have been watching these horses train at Belmont Saratoga that I trust. And to me, it sounds like White Abario is going a little bit better than National Treasure. And so I'll single White Abario because I don't think that you could take both just from a betting value standpoint.
It's certainly tricky. I wouldn't say you absolutely can't do it under any circumstances. You know, it depends on if you've got strong enough pit opinions elsewhere and you wanted to lock this race up. But I think you're right. I mean, it's certainly, JK, you talk about this all the time, one of the best ways to pick up equity in a spot like this is to do exactly what Matt is suggesting. And I think I'm moving the order around by asking JK if he agrees with that opinion. Personally, I was leaning a little bit more towards National Treasure just off the idea that I think he might get an absolutely perfect trip, a la the Pegasus stalking Hoist the Gold, taking over when he wants, maybe a little bit easier trip. And then I thought he'd be a bigger price of the two, but I mean, I'm torn. Which way do you go, JK?
Well, I think that this is a race that you approach, if you know, from a pick six standpoint, based on what your other opinions are throughout the sequence. And there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt National Treasure and White Abario are the two horses to beat. National Treasure's race in the Pegasus wins this race. White Abario's race in the Whitney or the Classic win this race. And you know, honestly, White Abario's race in the Met Mile last year probably wins this race. The problem I have is that there is at least two interesting horses to me that I have to have a little bit, which is one. The one is the 5-horse Hoist the Gold, who once upon a time had a really crazy number around one turn. And I know that they're going to be out of the chute, so it's like a almost one turn, but he's one that I think will add a ton of value to a sequence. If for whatever reason you can get one, I'm not going to use him as an A horse, but he feels a little B type for me. And then Blazing Sevens, let's not forget, like, Blazing Sevens almost beat National Treasure when they were 3 year old, and Blazing Sevens came back in a weird race that didn't get a fast figure, but he ran well. He did what he needed to do. And if he can find a couple more points on the buyer feed speed figure scale, he could kind of jump up and be forgotten with a little bit of a number and a type of horse that is improving from 3 to 4. So I'm going to use Blazing Sevens and Hoist the Gold as B horses. And I'm going to use White Barrio and National Treasure as A's. And then I'm going to, based on the sequence, I think there's some opportunities to kind of make that make sense to use that many horses in this small field.
Right. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, if you were playing the double or something, you're not going to be able to take that approach. But if you have enough things going on elsewhere, you're obviously, you're sort of saying this isn't the race where I'm taking a stand, but you're going to survive in advance. And that's certainly a valid approach as well. Maggie, let's bring you back in to get your thoughts on this year's Met Mile.
Between the two, I have a little bit of trouble swallowing White Abario's effort in Saudi Arabia. Maybe he didn't ship well. Maybe, I don't know. And there are a lot of times when I feel like this horse, his schedule and his management don't really make sense, but he jumps up and he wins these big races. So for me, between the two of them, I do prefer National Treasure because, you know, that Saudi race was really weird in a way. It was a quick pace where we saw Saudi Crown and National Treasure go basically 1-2 around there. Disappointing that National Treasure could never get by Saudi Crown, but ultimately the top two finishers coming from way off of it. And White Barrio sat, what, third and just backed up through the field. So for me, I want National Treasure, but I've always had a thing for Blazing Sevens. And I liked him as a 2-year-old. I kind of willed him into running better than what he did as a 3-year-old. I remember Chad making some comments that he just felt as though he didn't necessarily do right by the horse. Like he just, not that sounds terrible, but like has figured out more about him now as an older horse and knows how he likes to be trained. So we'll see. He got Lasix for the first time for that first race back, has to come off again. I don't think that's an issue whatsoever. We saw Artorias come out of that race too and win, though he regressed a little bit from a speed figure standpoint. But a horse that I didn't mind that comeback effort, and I really think there's some quality in there.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. And I'm excited to see how it plays out in this Met Mile short field, but long on the talent, I think we can agree. I'm going to be uncreative and see what I can get done with National Treasure in that spot and hopefully not have my whole day come down to what happens in the Met Mile. And we move on to the two biggest races of the day, starting with one with some really fun international competition, the Grade One Manhattan, going 1 3/16 around this Saratoga turf. Obviously, we've got questions about exactly what the turf course condition is going to be, and that ultimately might factor in. For me, with a little bit of cut in the ground, I think Al Rifa is a really, really interesting shipper for the Joseph O'Brien team. The form here is really good. I mean, on time form, you'd probably rate Al Rifa a little bit behind measure time, but I don't know, just watching these races and looking at the form and seeing that close-up defeat to Ace Impact, who, you know, went on to win the biggest, one of the biggest turf races in the world in the Arc de Triomphe. And I think this has been the plan for a long time. Joseph O'Brien has shipped all around the world successfully. And then my super soft factor for wanting to discuss Al Rifa in here, my longtime buddy from the old message board days when I was first meeting people who went racing overseas after various trips to Cheltenham, Kevin Blake, who then became renowned as a podcaster. We actually stole a lot from him and his then partner, Emmett Kennedy, in founding the In the Money Media Network. Well, he helps out on the racing managerial side with Joseph O'Brien, making his first USA racing trip ever to come watch this one. That's an endorsement as well. The horse himself, I think, you know, there are question marks here about his ability to go around a left-handed bend, about how he'd handle really firm turf. But with some cut in the ground at a backable price, I think this is a really, really interesting runner in this year's Manhattan. Maggie, what do you think of this one? What do you think of these shippers, and what do you think of the USA contingent?
I think the shippers are better. I think the foreign horses have a little bit of a leg over on some of our American horses, as they frequently do, especially in these, you know, long distance turf races. And I'm really excited to see both of these horses physically, but like, let's talk about them physically. Alrifa, looking at his replays, looks huge. Like, he looks like a moose, watching him run around those French racetracks. So is he going to be suited to the tight turns, especially here at Saratoga? I'm not sure, but I do think he's a quality animal for sure. I would prefer of the two Measured Time in here, because what, you know, having watched his career, obviously he is a half to Rebel's Romance, who has had success. He won the Breeders' Cup turf a couple years ago in America. And watching him, and furthermore, on top of all that, watching Charlie Appleby's horses train and everything that he's ever brought over here, they are literal beasts. I mean, they just look like a different animal than what we're typically, or what we have been typically used to, of what these European, English, Irish, French horses come over looking like. Obviously, he's coming from Maidan. But Measured Time is a horse who can get a bit keen in his races. And I think that given the American style, we do just generally tend to run a little bit quicker, given our kind of course circumferences and how they're, you know, put together. I think he's going to be really suited to the courses here. And he really hasn't done too much wrong in his career so far.
Yeah, he's one where you know that the left-handed thing is very much in his corner and does have that handiness. I tend to agree with what you said about Alrifa. I mean, it's a big grinding sort, but I was just hoping that on the class with a little cut in the ground at a little bit better of a price could maybe get the job done. Matt, let's bring you in. First, a general thought on your approach to how you handicap these European runners, and how do you think our local contingent measures up to them in the Manhattan?
I mean, the first thing I always look at with European runners is just the form of the races that they come out of. And that's, you know, probably why I ended up agreeing with you, Pete, in terms of Alrifa. You know, the race two back, obviously, against Ace Impact, you know, losing by less than a length there, I thought was a really good performance. And then, you know, just looking visually at the replay of the last race off the bench, look, that was a race that was longer than today's distance. And I thought Alrifa just didn't quite finish as well as maybe you'd want to see in there. But for it being the first race off the bench and for it being further than he's going to have to go, you know, on Saturday, I thought it sets him up very, very well for a race like this. And I agree with Maggie that the Europeans are probably just better than the Americans in this race. I'll use, you know, the other Appleby horse on the outside, Measured Time, as well. I did think that Ohana Honor, the two horse, was somewhat interesting. I think he's probably figured out what he wants to do, which is to go longer on the turf. And I thought his last race was pretty good. His last two races were pretty good, and I think you're getting a little bit of a price there. And I don't think he'll mind a little bit of giving the ground either. So I might use him as like a C at a price, but I'm going to be pretty heavy 6 and 9 in here.
6-9 with a little bit of the 2 on a backup line. JK, how about you? It's been all 6s and 9s so far. Are you going to make this a chorus?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to use a 6 and a 9. It's one of those races where, like, when it comes to European form, it's either I know 100%, this is, you know, Enable, or it's Siskiny, or I'm just not 100% sure. I'm going to cover myself with all the Europeans. I'm going to use the 6, 7, and the 9. I think the 7, Nation's Pride, probably had a little bit of an opportunity to take another step forward off of that last race. Was ridden kind of trickily, like very forward in that last race. I want to give that horse another shot. So I'll use 6, 7, 9, but I also want to use the 5, Program Trading. Look, I know we're talking connections here, and we're talking the silks, and we're talking, you know, a European horse. I don't think this is domestic spending or bricks and mortar, but I do think that this is a good version of a male turf horse for Chad that I'm not going to let smack me in the face at Saratoga in the Manhattan in a grade one, where he ran extremely well last time and showed a lot of guts running up the inside. So because I'm going to single in the Belmont, they call that a teaser in TV, Pete. I'm going to use 5, 5, 6, 7, 9.
You know, I do TV too. You know that, right? JK, you have now nominated yourself because of that excellent teaser that you threw in there. We are going to go right back to you. First, we're going to talk though about we're going to intro this Belmont Stakes, the race that gives the day its name. Grade one action for these three-year-olds going a mile and a quarter this year. People have asked why that is, and it's all down to the course configuration. Mile and a half is an odd start. I suppose they probably could have done a mile and three-eighths thing, but I think they decided to go with sort of the classic Saratoga three-year-old distance of the mile and a quarter. Can't wait. 6:41 Eastern, the scheduled post time. We've got this field of 10 going postward. We actually have some cool extra graphics and some replays to show that we'll get to during this one as well. But producer Craig will run us through the card there. We can get a look at the morning lines. And then JK, we're going to ask you the key question when it comes to this year's Belmont Stakes. How are we going to get paid?
Yeah, so this is actually a fun little exercise for me. This is a way that I'm going to try to explain this single on the Fox show, where there's going to be kind of some new audiences paying attention that don't know a lot about racing. So you guys tell me, the three of you on the panel and then listening in the comments. Actually, don't say in the comments. I just don't know why I asked that. But tell me what you think of this, of trying to put this into perspective. I feel like Mindframe has a chance to be brilliant, while the rest of them are just trying to solidify themselves as very good. And I think that if you look at what Mindframe did on debut, his three-year-old debut, he ran a 103 Buyer speed figure. American Pharoah, three-year-old debut, ran 100. Justify ran a 104. Flightline ran a 105. All three of those horses could be considered brilliant. Mindframe is the one that has that higher ceiling than everyone else. And I'm okay getting involved at the ground level, because this is the last time, if he is who I think he could be, that we'll ever get second choice, third choice on this horse. He was sensational in his debut. I forgive his slow figure at Churchill because they crawled early. They can only come home so fast when they go so slow early. And I often use that analogy about Usain Bolt. If he walks for 10 meters and then runs the best 90 meters of his entire life, he's never going to break a world record. He's never going to break his own record. He can only go 90 meters so fast. That's how I feel about Mindframe. He's the one to me that could be brilliant. Look, Sierra Leone absolutely can win. Absolutely can win. But I think I know where his ceiling is. It's still just very good. Mindframe ceiling is special.
We're watching him here in his debut run at Gulfstream, breaking the clock. Very likable attitude, I thought, throughout the race. I mean, in terms of your argument, JK, I mean, I think it's one you can make, staring at the ceiling of the potential runners, and I think it's something that sports fans, you're so good at coming up with across sport analogies. There might be one you could make regarding him as the young player with all the upside coming in, tackling more established foes. My issue with the argument, just from a form study point of view, is, have we seen the ceiling of Sierra Leone? I mean, what if the horse ever runs straight in the lane? Doesn't that improve his ceiling significantly? That might be my only counterattack. But, you know, I'll chime in some more thoughts on the race as we go through. Let's bring in Maggie for her selection in this year's Belmont Stakes and just your general thoughts on it.
Sorry, JK, I don't like Mindframe at all.
There's just well, start there. Unknowns. Start there. What's your case against?
There's too many unknowns. He's beaten nothing. And I know he's beaten them by open lengths. Okay. More than 20 lengths in two races combined. And he could be very special. But, and again, it's not like he's a lightly race horse. It's only had two races going in the Derby, you know, where you really need that seasoning. It's only 9 other rivals in here. So, there probably isn't that much adversity for him to overcome, but also he projects to be forward in here. And isn't there some other speed to possibly, you know, at least keep him honest? I don't know. He can prove me wrong, but I just wish he'd done it against some better horses, some horses who have come back and, you know, maybe improved, but they haven't. And furthermore, while he worked incredibly well against Fierceness, I thought, his work coming back, and it could have been just a maintenance work and they just didn't want to do that much with him. I didn't think he looked as good as Protective. So for me, Sierra Leone, he's been my horse throughout. I'm going to, you know, dance with the big lug that brought me here.
Loved being the key word there.
Yeah. Hopefully the equipment change with that Houghton bit does the trick. Like I said, I've said many times, I wish it was on him sooner. But it's on now. And we'll see if it works, if it prevents him from doing this really bad behavior. As you see, Tyler Gaffalione having to lean his body weight over to the right, having to use the left-handed crop, having that tight hold of that right rein. So, again, I do think he's very talented. And I agree with your sentiment, Pete, that if he runs straight, maybe we finally will see that brilliant performance. Look, in your Kentucky Derby / Preakness runner-up, he's done nothing wrong. I can't say he's a bad proposition whatsoever. He's just not for me. The other horses that I want to use in here with Sierra Leone are Resilience. I loved how he's training in here. And I said when he won the Wood Memorial that he was my Belmont horse. I'm going to stick by that sentiment as well. And then Antiquarian. He's just crying out for these longer distance races. And he lost a lot. He gave up more ground than anyone in that Peter Pan victory and just kept coming. And really, for me, visually, was hitting his best strides, 16th within the wire.
9-2-5 for Maggie. And we actually have some video of the Peter Pan. Craig, maybe this is as good a time as any to show this run that Maggie was just describing with Antiquarian covering a lot more ground than anybody else and really putting in a pretty impressive run through the lane on a day where not a ton was expected in terms of the market. I mean, 5-1, but in a shortish field with a couple of horses that weigh down. We've seen the Peter Pan be such a key primer for the Belmont Stakes as recently as last year. Arcangelo used it as a springboard to Belmont glory, and that's not an uncommon thing historically. And again, just throws it down pretty good here and finishes up, I thought, in the manner of one who will appreciate more ground. I didn't end up coming up with him. I'm really Team Sierra Leone here, but a horse I definitely am glad we got an opportunity to talk about and show a little bit more. Love that picture from our friends at Naira. Years back. He's showing a pretty good attitude in that photo, wouldn't you say, Maggie?
Absolutely. That's what you want to see from your racehorse. Just that determined look in his face. I mean, really, what has he done wrong? His Louisiana Derby, he was a wreck. He was being bad in the gate. He broke through the gate. Then he was on this trip. He wasn't handling the kickback, so Johnny took him wide. And so after all that, I think that's a race where I don't ever want to, toss a horse's race, but there were valid excuses. And he was so well behaved before the Peter Pan, and I'm expecting much the same on Saturday.
And you do agree, I'm just basing it on watching the tape, but from what you've seen of this horse, the added ground only to his benefit?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's interesting. I'm getting convinced. We should talk about, and let's get Matt's opinion, and then I have a general question for the group. But Matt, where do you stand on this? Let's start with the debate over Mind Frame. Are you more in JK's camp that he's the one with all the upside who needs to be on tickets, or are you more like Maggie and I, where we're just a little bit questioning how he's going to handle this deep end of the pool, maybe a case of too much too soon? We shall see. Where do you stand with it?
Honestly, I'm somewhere in the middle, right? Because I think he's a must use, but I couldn't single him. Basically for everything that you guys talked about for the last 5 minutes, right? I mean, he's potentially brilliant. I think he's drawn well here. I don't think he needs the lead, and there is some pace in this race. If you're rooting for him, obviously, hopefully he gets out and sits a nice trip just off the speed. And I think that's a trip that wins going two turns at Saratoga. Like JK said, I mean, he's been brilliant in his first two starts. But to Maggie's point, he's beaten nothing. He's going to face a big crowd and way better competition than he's ever faced before. And he's, stretching out quite a bit in here as well. So I couldn't single him. Then I looked at Sierra Leone. On paper, this race is kind of made for him. There does seem to be speed in front of him to run into. But like I said before, at Saratoga, going two turns, whether it's a mile and an eighth or a mile and a quarter, I usually like courses that are a little bit closer to the lead. And, for that reason, I don't think that You know, I could single him either. So I landed on a couple of long shots that I wanted to use in addition to those two horses. Both were mentioned by Maggie. I think Resilience would probably be my top pick as a long shot in here. I thought his Kentucky Derby was very good. He was very wide throughout, made a huge middle move. I bet him that day, so he gave me a bit of a thrill before he faded. But I think, you know, 5 weeks out of that race to this race, you know, is perfect. You know, Maggie referenced it. Other people that I've talked to that have seen him train up here say that he's training wonderfully. Obviously, I don't think Bill Mott would put him in this race unless he thought he had a chance to win it. And I think he'll sit the right kind of trip, as I said before, in this race. And then Antiquarian, you know, to Maggie's point as well, hasn't done anything wrong. And I just thought visually the way he finished his last race says that he wants to go further. I just think he has this nice big stride, and he was, you know, kind of wide, gave up a lot of ground in that race, you know, for a six horse field. And he just seems like one that's going to move forward and appreciate this. And again, is another one that I think will be close enough to win, you know, or for what normally wins, you know, these sort of two turn dirt races at Saratoga. So I would use those four horses. I can't single Mind Frame, but I certainly can't dismiss him in this race.
Fair enough. So in the last couple of live streams we've done, JK has developed a little bit of a contentious relationship with some of the people in the comments. We heard it earlier. I wanted to show one on screen to maybe change that dynamic a little bit. This is from Gary. This is a game about his opinions. I greatly appreciate JK's insight, strategies, and passionate opinions about our beloved sport. Nice one, Gary. Thank you.
Well, I thought I'm putting this one up. I thought this one was funny. So the funny thing about it is the people that know me know that I'm actually like not at all. Like it's stupid if I come on here and I go, I kind of like Mind Frame, and then I don't know, maybe Sierra Leone. I'm going to use all on the pick six. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Opinions are what it's all about. We can't, there's a couple of horses. We only have 4 minutes left. So apologies, we're not going to be able to get to any of the excellent questions that have been asked, because we've got two more horses that we need to at least focus on for a second. And let's start with one who, you know, I think 100 of his owners are watching. To that's my tease for talking about Seize the Gray. It's been great to hear from so many people in our audience who are involved with this ownership group, and it's been a great story. And we do have some footage of footage of Seize the Gray, Craig, or do we just have a card that we were going to show? Either way, punch up what we have for him. Yeah, we've just got the card for Seize the Gray. If I were to show the tape of the Preakness, which we don't have the rights to do, what you would see, in my view, was a very strange decision by Frankie Dettori to not go to the lead, allowing this horse to be alone on the lead on what may have been the best part of the track. And gosh, it was great. I'm not trying to take anything away from what he did that day. He's your Preakness winner. Nobody can ever take that away from you. But this is not a horse. I feel like just a classic. That was the time you wanted to have him. He will not be loose on the lead with the likes of Mind Frame in here. I don't know. It's a great story. It would be a great story if he comes back and kicks sand in my face in this year's Belmont Stakes. But, you know, none of us had him amongst our top picks. Anybody on the panel have anything to comment about Seize the Gray before we move on to the other horse that I'd get a host fail for if we didn't mention
it? Yeah, no, I think there's a couple of things to say about Seize the Gray. I mean, I think any time that you can get a handful of, 100 of, 200 of, 5,000 of people involved in these syndicates where people can have this experience. You know, obviously Adelphi Racing is a great opportunity to get involved and to be able to feel like you're owning and actually owning a part of what's happening on the screen or in the racetrack in front of you. So I think that's always cool when a lot of people can get involved. So that's great with Seize the Gray. I recorded yesterday for the first time. I've been dying to get this person. I got D. Wayne Lucas for Cart Talk.
Fun.
And Wayne was great. He was hilarious. But he did say, and it wasn't like coach talk, it wasn't trainer talk. He was just we weren't even on camera anymore. And he was just telling me, Jonathan, I'm telling you, this horse is doing better than he was before the Preakness. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who else is going to show up, but he's doing better than he was before the Preakness. And so, and he swears the horse will rate too. So I don't know why they wouldn't send from down there. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I think that Seize the Gray is sitting on a potentially better performance. See if that's good enough.
Let's talk about our Derby winner, Mystic Dan. Great to have his participation. Great to have a horse running in all three legs of the Triple Crown. This is one where I don't see him being on my tickets, honestly, on Saturday. But boy, will I be clapping him back to the winner's circle if he gets the job done. Maggie, what are your thoughts on Mystic Dan just as a racehorse?
He is a horse that, when you look at him physically, he's smaller, but he's really well balanced, so therefore he's very handy, and that's why we saw Brian Hernandez be able to pull off that kind of ride and trip in the Kentucky Derby, which was unbelievably, you know, brave of the horse and Brian, and resulted in a win because he saved more ground than anyone, and to his credit, he was one of the horses close to the pace that stuck around. So I really respect him. I just often wonder, and maybe it's Kenny getting in my head, that after every single race, after the Derby, I don't know if we're going to Preakness. He hasn't handled a 2-week turnaround. Oh, I don't know if we're going to Belmont. And, you know, it's a lot. But he's responded to it. But maybe he's in my head that, well, at some point, this is all going to catch up with him. So am I going to be shocked when he wins? No. Am I really against him? No. I think it'd be a great story if he wins. But I would not have him on a ticket.
We have seen the move going from the Derby to the Belmont Stakes be effective. Another runner who's doing that in this spot is Honor Marie. This was a horse I liked in the Derby. I think I'm off the bandwagon now. But JK, this is a horse you and I have talked about throughout the season. Where are you with him?
But you cut out. What'd you say, Honor Marie?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I know, no offense to the previous rider, to Ben Curtis, and hopefully he gets well soon, but, you know, Flo's been in these big moments, right? So that's always a good thing. And I know a lot of people really love the work that Ben Curtis did on Honor Marie leading into the race. I think he's super live. I mean, I think, you know, him, resilience, I think probably deserves a call too. I mean, like, look, the horse almost made the lead in when they turned for home in the Derby, was close to that pace and finished sixth. Little bit hesitant that Mott was questioning the distance limitations for him, but I think both of those horses make sense underneath. I'm not cutting a line to bet them to win, but I think they can definitely get involved.
All right, we're just about out of time. Matt, I do want you to tell people where they can go. You know, JK was talking about ownership groups. I've been a proud partner with Adelphi for the last couple of years. I'm impressed by just your level of knowledge that we've heard on this broadcast, but also the level of communication that we get about these horses. I've been able to learn so much from the access that you provide and just this whole experience of being part of Adelphi Racing Club. Where can people learn more?
I'm glad you've had a good experience, Pete, and hopefully we have some luck to end the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival weekend on Sunday. Fingers crossed on that. If people want to get in touch with us, they can go to our website, adelphiracing.com, or they can email me directly. That's just matt@adelphiracing.com, matt@adelphiracing.com.
And look, I'll say this too. My mother-in-law is involved in Adelphi Racing, and she is constantly reading me emails that are like about all of this detail of what's happening, what the horse ate, where the horse is, who the horse is, where they are, where are they going. The attention to detail that Adelphi does is outstanding.
Oh, good, great note. We got a couple other programming notes. We'll tell you now that we have the full house here of viewers. We're trying to get to 10,000 YouTube subscribers to make my daughter's wish come true of having a content award for In the Money Media. I think I promised to give it to her, JK. We'll talk about that. We'll sort that out later. But if you could do us a favor and subscribe to the channel and click a notification bell to make sure you don't miss any of the other great content we have coming up here. We're going to have plenty more before Belmont Stakes Day. And speaking of other content coming up before Belmont Stakes Day, let's give one more shout out to our friends over at America's Best Racing. They've got a live stream. If you're watching this live tomorrow, Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Anita Marks, Dan Torgman, make sure to tune in for that as well and check out all the terrific content from America's Best Racing. Thank you to producer Craig. Thank you to Matt for sponsoring this show. Thank you to Maggie and JK for giving their time. Oh, I realize some people are going to be listening on audio and not know what the mean comment about JK was made. I let it speak for itself on the screen. For the record, a commenter said, JK is incredibly arrogant. All right, that's it. For JK, for Matt, for Maggie, for producer Craig, for America's Best Racing, I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your Belmont Racing Festival photos.